Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mina Kimes going to join us in a little bit. Make sure you stick around for that. She's going to join us in the next segment. Ariel Helwani is going to join us as well. So there are a couple of things going on in the world of the UFC that I wanted to get into. First, the John Jones thing that we barely even scratched the surface on. Basically, he is in a very John Jones-like situation where he had a DWI, and it's just one of these strange things that continues to happen to him. Like, he's, you know, look, he's a self-admitted addict, and it's just so wild that the greatest guy in their sport continues to fall down these holes, you know, these pitfalls. So I wanted to talk to Ariel about that. Plus, the UFC is still trying to get a fight going on April 18th. They're trying to do an undisclosed location. It's just wild. There's a lot of things going on with the UFC. So we will talk to Ariel about that. Also, I have some of the greatest sound ever during your stay-at-home quarantine. And it is courtesy of my friend Ryan Clark, ESPN NFL analyst. We will have that for you. It is must listen to audio. I'm just telling you that it is words to live by during the quarantine. But this segment brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, full court cell phone coverage that you need. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high speed data, then 2G for $45 a month, saving you half the cost of big carriers. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. All right, so here's the deal. Yesterday, LeBron James, I guess, you know, a lot of people were watching the Cavs Golden State Warriors series 2016. ESPN laid that out for you, games 5 and 7. Now game 5, if you recall, was the game Draymond was suspended for. And then obviously game 7 is the infamous game with LeBron's block and Kyrie's shot. And, you know, they won one for Cleveland and Cleveland's curse was broken and all that stuff. And man, as I was watching all that, I was thinking to myself, like, again, like, just what I've been doing with all these games that I've been watching back. Like, just looking at the nuances of it. Like, Kyrie Irving, for as much grief as I give him, and plenty of other people give him, that game 5 was just incredible to watch. And LeBron matched him. They both had 40 points in a finals game. And it was just insane. So I started to think, right, like, man, how cool would it be to have LeBron, you know, just kind of narrate some of this stuff. And lo and behold, as I'm thinking that, he tweets out, thinking about maybe sitting down and breaking down some of my most memorable games and my most memorable moments of my career, maybe an IG live, or just film it and hold on to it for another time. So a couple of things went through my mind there. Number one, immediately the basketball dork in me started listing games on Twitter, which I've put on my Twitter at Sedano that you can see for yourself. And number one has always been to me what I think is the greatest game he's ever played, because that's the game he became LeBron bleeping James, was game 6 of the 2012 Eastern Conference Finals, down 3-2, headed to Boston. Basically the blueprint on the line for him, Wade and Bosh. The second game I had was game 5 of the 2007 Eastern Conference Finals. Now, I know most people wouldn't pick that game, but that's the game he went supernova and had, like, was it 28 straight points or something like that against a Pistons team that was a champion that had been to the finals twice as recently as 2 years before that. They had been to 6 straight Eastern Conference Finals. And LeBron wasn't even LeBron yet. Like, he was just going on athleticism and instinct at that point. Like, he wasn't anywhere near the player that he is now, where he's a thinking man's player and he's just still obviously tremendously gifted from an athletic standpoint. Like, he was just raw as hell still in 2007 and dragged that team to the finals that had no business being in the finals. Larry Hughes was their second best player on that team. So it just kind of got me thinking about just like big LeBron moments that I'd like to see. But then, of course, because we live in the most cynical of cynical worlds, I start to see people on social media, including people I like and I'm friends with, going and kind of mocking him a little bit and going down this whole of LeBron is just trying to steal shine from the Jordan documentary that's coming out in a couple of weeks. And look, that cynical to believe that. Yes, Laura, I can hear you. Am I on the air? Okay, great. I am not that cynical to believe that LeBron James solely put that tweet out to just, I don't know, steal Michael's shine? Can't those things be mutually exclusive? Can it be he was watching arguably his greatest performance ever, the most meaningful win he's ever had in his career, the actual game that probably put him more promptly in the conversation for greatest ever, right? Like, no matter, it doesn't really matter what you think of LeBron. It's hard to argue that he's not a top four player of all time. Like, it's really hard to argue. Maybe even if you're going to stretch it and you're a super duper cynic, top five of all time. But I do think that LeBron likes some LeBron. Like, I'm not debating that part of it. But I do think that he could get caught up in the nostalgia of it initially, and then get caught in the mythology of it later and be like, yeah, that's good. And maybe there is a business opportunity there. Like, I'm not saying that all those things didn't happen. I'm just saying that all those things could have happened individually. So even though my brain didn't immediately go to cynicism, I'm not completely summarily dismissing it. I'm just saying, I just don't think that was the original intent. I really think that he just got caught up in the emotion of watching that game back, which I'm sure he's watched it back a number of times. But there's a difference between if you're him. Like, imagine if you're him for a second, if you're LeBron, and you're watching back one of your greatest, or arguably your greatest moment, right? Like, your crowning achievement, no pun intended. It's one thing to watch it by yourself or with your family and your friends. It's another thing when, you know, probably a million people are watching it back with you on ESPN last night and commenting on it. Because I was tweeting about it, about that, watching that game yesterday. I tweeted about Kyrie. I was tweeting about LeBron. I tweeted about the block that he had on Iguodala. And there were a lot of people doing that on social media yesterday. So clearly he was on Twitter and he was noticing all that stuff. So I could see where it shouldn't just be cynicism out of the gate. I'm not saying that maybe down the road, a few minutes later, it might not have been. But I just find it hard to believe as a human being that you wouldn't get swept up in that. If that were me, and obviously I'm nowhere near someone as important as LeBron James in the global spectrum of it all. But let's just say, for argument's sake, they were running back a radio show that I did or a game that I was on, and I had this amazing interview, right? Like Doris Burke does every time she's doing the finals. She asks the best questions. She gets the best responses. Like, let's say I was in that spot and people were tweeting at me, "Yo, Sedano, that was awesome. You know, the walk-off interview you did with whoever." You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'd be like, "Wow, that'd be cool." Like, I'd love, you know, I wouldn't go back and say, "Let's break down some of my most memorable, you know, interviews and whatnot." But in my mind, I'd be like, "Man, that it would swirl up emotions," is what I'm saying. So I could see where that is just the original impetus for the tweet. But yeah, like, I could also see him being like, "Yeah, you know what? If Mike can do it, I sure as hell could do it too. I'm in that conversation, so why shouldn't I think of doing something like that?" So that's just it. Like, I'm not trying to poo-poo people who were cynics right out of the gate. I'm just saying, like, I just find it strange that that's where people go immediately. Like, you know, you do you. Like, that's fine. But I can't go there automatically. I can't go just to cynicism immediately. It's just not who I am. Now, look, if you deserve the cynicism, I think there are more there are people in this world that deserve more cynicism than LeBron James, right? LeBron James does a lot of fun things for us, for our viewing experience. LeBron James does a lot of good things for society. There are people who do a lot of bad things who deserve your cynicism much more than he does. Bergman, where are you on this? Are you okay with, are you surprised that people went with the cynicism right out of the gate? Look, I'm not saying again that it doesn't deserve a little cynicism, maybe upon second thought, but I just feel like he had to have been caught up in the emotion of watching that moment again.
I mean, cynicism is not really needed in this. Look, people want to watch that. I don't care. Like, you're saying you don't want to break down your best interviews. I want to see you break down your Patrick Beverley interview where he slapped you on the butt and he said that called you something nice.
Swaggy boy.
Swaggy boy. That's right. So, yeah, why can't you break that down? We can break down anything. It would be fun to actually have regular people breaking down things that they do in their everyday life. Maybe it's somebody breaking down how they're teaching their kids at home right now because everyone's doing just that.
Well, to your point, actually, that is an interesting point, right? Like, I guess there would be like a positive. Like, I try my best. People send me stuff like on Twitter or whatever or on Instagram and be like, hey, you know, I'm trying to get in the business. Like, do you have any advice? Like, I get that all the time. I'm not saying that that's what I want to do, but I'm saying like, if someone asked me like, hey, I want to get in the business. I saw your interview. Let's just call it whatever with Patrick Beverley, as an example, like, how do you handle that? Like, how did you just kind of handle that the way you did? I would tell them. For sure, I would tell them. Now, I don't think the masses would want that, which is why I said that. But yeah, I'm sure that there is a small, very small, finite amount of people who would want to get into the business, who would want to know about the intricacies of hosting a radio show or sideline reporting or whatever. You know what I mean? But I get it. Like, I just get being caught up in the emotion of people giving you adulation, which is what was happening yesterday on social media as people were watching that game.
No matter what, people would want to watch him in that 2012 Eastern Conference Final where he became LeBron freaking James, like you said. I want to hear that. Like, there's no problem with anything that he's doing there. People want to see this. This has nothing to do with the Jordan documentary that's on April 19th. This is about him just like, huh, I'm sitting here at home. I'd love to break this down. If you want to watch it, come to my IG Live or I'll save it and we'll put it out at another time. I have zero issue with anybody doing anything like that.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I just think that people just jump to the cynicism first. I guess it's just the world we live in. Like, that's just life, right? Like, there's not much you can do about that.
Yeah, we hate everything. You find the negative first before you look for the positive.
Right.
Just how it is.
Yeah.
People are insane. And there's anybody that, as you said, it's people that you like and people that you know, they're just looking for something. That's it.
It is pretty wild, man, that we're in this kind of place where that's where we go. Anyway, speaking of the Lakers, though, well, we weren't talking about the Lakers. We were talking about LeBron, which is really like talking about the Lakers.
He's a Laker.
There's some news today. Now, you sent me this. Who's reporting this thing about Dwight and DeMarcus Cousins?
It says in the article, it's from Lakers Nation, but it says that Brian Windhorst was saying it. So I've misquoted him in the past before, so I don't want to do that again. But that's
yeah, let's not do that because Brian doesn't love the aggregators. So
No. Exactly. Yeah. So I don't want to.
Maybe he said that on a podcast somewhere. Like, can we do some research before we go down that route?
Yeah, I did it. They got it from a site that said that it was Brian. So I don't. Yeah. So let's not go through that route just because I'm not positive about it. But they're saying that it's basically what the premise is that they would rather get what they know with Dwight Howard than the unknown of DeMarcus Cousins.
Right.
Because he's injured and he's been injured for quite some time. Whether who's the better fit, nobody knows. But if you get the Dwight that you're getting right now, maybe he is the better fit.
Right. He might be. Look, I just think he's the more healthy fit.
Yes. Which is the more important part of all of it is that he's healthy. I mean, I've been wanting to see what DeMarcus Cousins would look like, but you know, do we get to see DeMarcus Cousins? He's past his time where he could be on the Lakers if they start the season up again, right?
Yeah. Well, didn't they cut him?
Yes, but they can. I mean, yeah, he's no longer can't be on a roster then, I guess.
Yeah, his season is over no matter what, and I don't think he was. Look, I just wouldn't have brought him back anyway. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, you have to cut somebody
But at
else.
The time, remember, I wanted them to cut, who was the guy, the shooter that they cut? Troy Daniels. And I remember having this argument with people about, you should just cut Troy Daniels because I'd rather keep Boogie just in case next season he's healthy and you have this goodwill with him. And Troy Daniels asked out anyway, like a week later. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just wild that that's kind of the way it turned out. Or maybe it wasn't wild, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
Maybe there was some things floating in the atmosphere and being discussed in hushed tones and whispers. But anyway, but I would keep Dwight too. Like, he's just a healthier option. Even Dwight at this stage of his career, I'd take him over DeMarcus. Even though DeMarcus, if healthy, is a much better player than Dwight at this stage. But that's a huge if. The guy's legs are broken, basically, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, he had his Achilles, he had the calf, it's going up his leg, and it's just, I can't imagine that he's going to ever be fully back to who he is. I mean, you would hope so. He was a great player, and he's young still.
Yeah.
But just don't know.
Yeah. All right, so Mina Kimes going to join us next. We'll talk some football with her. I'm going to ask her if she thinks LeBron's trying to steal Jordan's shine, too. I'll ask her that. But I want to talk a lot of football with Mina. There's a lot of football stuff going on. We'll talk to her in 4 minutes. Stick around. Sedano, 710 ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. Mina Kimes is going to join us here in a second, giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Only at Walmart. Don't forget, we are doing the 710 Senior Shoutout. So basically, here's the deal. If you or your family knows, or you yourself want to nominate yourself, you know, a high school senior who had an athletic or academic achievement, feel free to send us your information. Basically, here's the deal. You can get to us by emailing us at ESPNLAMarketing. That's ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com. Provide first and last name, city, school, and sport. Or post a short video of yourself or a classmate or a family member, etc., on Twitter or Instagram using the hashtag 710 Senior Shoutout. Each of our shows will highlight one of these seniors every day next week. Be sure to listen to hear your senior on 710 ESPN. So check out the ESPN Daily podcast with our next guest, Mina Kimes. Hello, Mina. Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How's it going?
Good. They were supposed to drop something in there. I don't know if they did or didn't because I'm not. No, they didn't. Okay, it's fine. We were going to have something for you sound-wise, but a little clunky. Look, we're at home, okay? No, nobody's working from the office right now, so a little clunky. But anyway, couple of things. Check out Mina's podcast, the ESPN Daily, of course, and the Mina Kimes Show with Lenny is her football podcast. Real quick before we get into football. So LeBron James yesterday tweeted, while I guess everyone was watching the Cavs beat the Warriors in 2016, he tweeted something that said something to the effect of, thinking of maybe sitting down and breaking down one of my most memorable games or some of my most memorable games and moments in my career, maybe IG Live or just film it and hold on to it for another time with a emoji. Now, do you believe that LeBron James was truly swept up in the moment, rewatching that game as everyone's watching it or people are tweeting about it, right? Like there was a big social media presence as that game was airing yesterday. Or do you believe that are you a cynic and believe that he was just trying to one up Michael Jordan because his documentary is coming up?
Well, he's not trying to one up him unless he does it on the day that the documentary comes out, which would be an incredible all time petty move, by the way. I don't, you know, with LeBron, it's always that like multiple things can be true, right? Like,
yeah, that's what I said.
I do think he likes attention. I think that that's undeniable at this point, but I don't think it's a bad thing because it's attention I would love to give him. I hope he does this. It would be incredibly entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I said that it could be all the things are true, right? That he absolutely got swept up in the adulation, right? Of watching it and the way people were reacting to it. And he was clearly on Twitter, because he tweeted right after it. And that he also, while he's tweeting, is like, well, you know, if they do this thing with Mike, that means they might be able to do that thing with me one day. I mean, I'm in that conversation too. What the hell?
Let's do it. Absolutely. Only if he does also, though, the J.R. Smith brain fart. I want to see him narrate that.
Oh, so my list of games, that one is number 7 on my list of top 10 games that I would want him to review, the game one of the 2018 NBA Finals. And also, while he's there, if he could talk to us about J.R. Smith throwing soup at Damon Jones, it would be a nice little bonus. Yes. Yeah, that would
There's
be nice.
So many moments that I'd like to know what. And the thing about, I mean, George, you've heard LeBron talk about basketball. It's fascinating, right? Because he's got the photographic memory. Like, it would be riveting, riveting television.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you. I'm there all day, every day if he does it. All right, couple of things. The Titans sign Derrick Henry to their $10.2 million tender. How do you feel about the deal?
Well, I wouldn't say alarmed, but the tender's fine. You know, I figured that would happen. But we also saw it reported that they're going to work on a long-term extension. And if I'm a Titans fan, that's what makes me nervous, right? I mean, as we know all too well here in Los Angeles, after seeing what happened with Todd Gurley, it's tread carefully when it comes to long-term extensions and running backs, especially a running back who carried the football as much as Derrick Henry did last season. I mean, you've seen the numbers, I'm sure, for running back to get over 300 carries and then the performance in the ensuing years. It's not a pretty track record. So I would be very nervous about committing to him for too long.
Yeah, no, I agree. Look, it's the most, the most replaceable position in the sport. I want to get into the Rams since you touched on them, but I do remind me to get back to just the running back thing in general, because I can equate it to something else. But let's get to the Rams and Todd Gurley. What do you do if you're the Rams now at running back? Do you go with what you've got? Do you add a veteran? Do you draft a guy to add to the mix? Like, how do you try to solve that riddle?
Well, you know, so I think they're going to roll with Henderson, who I loved, by the way, as a college prospect. I know he didn't do a ton last season. You saw some flashes out of him, but I anticipate he'll be used in some interesting ways this year as the run game evolves a bit. And I'm excited to see that. I do think still he has a lot of untapped potential. I know, you know, they like the depth that they already got behind him. And given the fact that they don't have a ton of draft picks, I would imagine there are other positions that are a little bit more important for them to have depth at now and to target for rookies. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they go out and grab maybe a veteran minimum guy. There's ton out there. That's what I would do if I was the Rams.
What would you do with Brandon Cooks?
I'd keep him.
Yeah, because there's not much value there.
Yeah, I just don't think they're going to get a return that's commensurate with what they'd be giving up. I think a lot of teams really love this wide receiver draft, and that's honestly had a bit of a damper on the wide receiver market. I mean, you saw Robbie Anderson, who was a very productive receiver in New York, signed for just a couple of years and like $20 million off the top of my head in Carolina. Thought he would get a lot more money than that outside of Amari Cooper. No one's really getting paid. And that usually reflects trade value as well, right? So I don't know if they would, I don't think they would get enough to make it worth their while.
Side note, I saw the Mike Sando story in The Athletic that I guess unnamed GMs or executives said that basically that Amari Cooper isn't worth that kind of money. What do you think about that?
I don't agree with it, actually. Like I said, it was a bigger contract than other wide receivers got, and, you know, it is pretty sizable, but first of all, the guarantees weren't made it look, I mean, I think it was 5 years, $100 million off the top of my head. Guarantees were only about 2 years. We've seen Dak's numbers with and without Amari. I think he was a very important signing for them. I don't think he's one of the 7 or 8 best wide receivers in the NFL. And sometimes when we see a new contract, we question, well, why are you paying him like one? But we forget that not only is the cap going up, but that contract's going to look very different in just 2 years. So I actually think it'll be fine.
Okay, fair enough. With the Rams on defense, do you worry about some of the losses that they've had? Like, are you okay with what they've got right now?
No, I definitely worry, especially linebacker. I'm very curious. You know, I loved the Corey Littleton signing for Oakland, and I think he's been one of the most underrated cover linebackers in the NFL for a couple of years now. And now they're going to lean on some, you know, they're going into uncharted waters at that position group. And so I think they've got guys they like, second-year, third-year players, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's an area they target in the draft. So I think that's probably the biggest area of concern for me on the defense. I think they should be fine in the secondary.
I know we've talked about Derek Carr and the Raiders a bunch, but since you brought them up, there's all this smoke about the Raiders and maybe Justin Herbert, right? Like there's always quarterback talk linked to them. Is that smoke or are you buying it?
You know, a lot of people have been speculating over the last couple weeks or so whether or not Marcus Mariota is going to actually get a chance there because he's got ties to Gruden, who said in the past that he really loved him. I actually
Wait a second, though. Wait. Gruden said he loved everybody in that quarterback camp. Name me the guy he didn't say he loved.
That's fair. But then he gets tired of quarterbacks. And I think that's why there's always so much speculation about Carr, right? Because he has so many bad relationships with quarterbacks that he's coached. He seems to dislike them. I actually think Carr is going to get a real shot. I think he was a lot better last year than people think. I think the Raiders are actually getting better than people think as well. I really like what they, you know, I mentioned Littleton signing, what they did on defense. I think Carr needs another weapon, so I wouldn't be surprised if that's an area they target very early in the draft. If I'm the Raiders, and I feel this way about every team, by the way, I think that the drop-off after Joe Burrow and Tua is so sizable that I would not take a flyer on a quarterback in the first half of the first round.
Where would you take Tua? Like, give me a range.
Three. He's going
that, you're that comfortable. Even okay.
Well, it's the market, right? It's supply and demand. Like I said, I think that those two quarterbacks are so much better than the other options. I think like a Jordan Love, for example, whose name you're going to hear a lot. There's crazy upside there, but he's not playing. He's not starting next year, right? Like, that's a flyer. And there, like I said, it could work out. And it could be. There could be a perfect spot for him out there, but Tua and Burrow are the only quarterbacks where I really look at them and I think, yeah, okay, those are NFL starters.
Are we at that place in the NFL where you're taking a flyer with a first round quarterback who's a project like that? That is a real thing.
You are if you're a team like Pittsburgh or maybe even like a Green Bay. I know it sounds crazy, but where you're starting to think about the quarterback of the future, not the quarterback you need today.
Bergman, my producer, and I were arguing about Tua the other day, so that's why I wanted to ask you that you would take him that high again, because I told him, like, I was jokingly saying that I didn't think he'd get there, but if he got to the Raiders somehow at 12, I'm like, the Raiders have to take him. He's a Raider fan, and go ahead, Raider boy, tell her what you told me.
I don't want Tua. I want to stick with what you have with Mariota and Carr.
If Tua falls to 12... and the Raiders don't take him there, the Raiders should be dissolved. he's not falling past five, guys. I mean, play that drop if I'm wrong, and Tommy, because I would be shocked if he falls that far, unless something crazy comes out about his health in the coming days.
I'm thinking of Mark Davis being incinerated by Mina Kimes right now. Just like he's just like Thanos. She just Thanos'd him.
I'm just saying. They would take him in a heartbeat if he dropped there. I don't think he will.
Okay, fair enough. Now, let me get back to the running back thing. It's sort of a tangential thing. Should we be treating Cam Newton's career arc like a running back?
No, I don't think so. There's a lot of talk right now about Newton and sort of this idea that he hasn't played well since, you know, like his MVP season. He was really good, I keep saying this, in the first half of 2018 when North Turner came in to run the Panthers offense before he got hurt. He was excellent. And yes, the injuries are concerning and they're the number one reason why he's not on a football team right now. But, you know, if his foot is fine, I don't see why he doesn't have a few more years in him as a starter.
Okay, fair enough. Last one for you. Jadeveon Clowney, is he crazy to ask for even $17 or $18 million?
Not crazy to ask for it, but apparently the market's not there. And, you know, he's a very complicated player to evaluate and assign value, like just because of the lack of, you know, stats, or sacks rather, it's both. He contributes so much in other ways, and he's such a talent, but there's a lot of skepticism towards him around the NFL, and I think that's being reflected in the fact that teams aren't really going for him. I wouldn't be surprised if he takes a shorter-term deal and bets on himself and tries again, because, you know, coming off of a season where he had less than four sacks, it's just hard to get paid like that.
Mina Kimes, check out the ESPN Daily podcast and the Mina Kimes Show with Lenny is her football podcast. Thank you, Mina. You're the best. Stay safe.
Bye, George.
See ya. All right. Coming up next, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has spoken, and it's four letters, and I'll tell you what it is next. Sit down with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Thanks to Mina Kimes for joining us there. If you missed any part of that interview, you could always go back on the Sedano Show podcast on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. So, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar tweeted four letters today. L-M-A-O. Now, my guess is that has something to do with the fact that Michael Jordan was named the greatest college basketball player of all time. Now, let me do this for you. I don't even know if Michael Jordan, I mean, honestly, I feel fairly comfortable in saying this. I don't even think Michael Jordan is the best basketball player to play at North Carolina. Like, as a college player. Like, Michael Jordan hit the huge shot. Yes, I understand. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I get that he hit that monster shot against Georgetown. And holds a special place in everyone's hearts who watches college sports, who watches college basketball, who is a North Carolina fan. Like, you can make the case that James Worthy is actually a better college player than Michael Jordan was. Like, you can make the case that Vince Carter was a better college player than Michael Jordan was at North Carolina. Bob McAdoo. He's not even, like, again, the for sure best player in North Carolina history. And I know jokingly we were talking about how Kareem fell to me at number six in our all-time Lakers draft, but I think that what that says and what this stuff continues to do is really just underscore how much Kareem is overlooked in general. Like, when Magic tweeted the thing the other day that Kareem was by far the best college player he ever played, he was the GOAT college player, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, you can make the case, I can make a pretty compelling case, that Kareem is the greatest player of all time, period. Not college basketball, period. Pro, college, you name it, whatever, it could be him. I mean, he leads the league in scoring historically. I mean, he played forever and was winning and playing at a very high level for a really long time. And it's wild because during this whole Mason and Ireland thing we did during the draft, it's amazing how Instagram has become a lot like Twitter. Like, people are arguing with me about the stuff I said about Wilt and what the callers were saying here about Wilt. And I was like, yo, Wilt Chamberlain was bench pressing 465 pounds at 59 years old. As far as I know, or as far as recorded history shows, like, Shaq has never even done that. Like, Wilt was the strongest player ever. And I understand that you can make the argument, oh, he played against smaller guys, but did he really? You know, like, Nate Tiny Archibald was 6'1". you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like there aren't guys in the league right now who are 6'1", who are balling. Or historically haven't had guys in the league who are balling at that size. Like, I don't think everybody was, you know, we try to paint these people like everyone was so much smaller than him. Yes, he was as big as Shaq was, comparatively speaking, in his era. That's what he was. And by the way, he wasn't that far off as far as being as big as Shaq. He was 275 pounds. He was a track star. And the same kind of goes for Kareem. Like, we kind of just dismiss these guys because they didn't play in an era where we watch them play live, or that we have actual video where we can actually watch them play that's not grainy. in Wilt's case, and even in Kareem's case. I mean, we actually have video, thankfully, but it's just amazing to me how uninformed some people are, because this vote for the best college basketball player was not done by pundits. It was done by fans. It was an online thing. So Kareem lost where in the Elite Eight, right? To Shaq? Greg, is that accurate?
No, he lost in the round of 32 to Shaq.
Oh. Yeah, that's crazy.
32.
Yeah, no, that's insane.
We need to just understand something about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Where when he played, freshmen were not allowed to play basketball, so he only played 3 years.
Correct.
Otherwise, he would have dominated all those. And actually, at that time, the UCLA freshman team with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar beat the varsity team when they played. He would have destroyed everybody. They changed the rules of basketball because of Kareem. He was not allowed to dunk.
You can't dunk, right?
Yes. The dunk was taken away because of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or Lou Alcindor at that time. But the fact that he went out in the second round, I love Shaq, and I thought Shaq was a great college player. He was a great NBA player, all that. You do not beat Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, period, ever, in anything college. There's no question he should have gone all the way to the finals. He should have won the finals. I don't care who you put in front of him. And if anything, it should have been Kareem versus Bill Walton.
Yes, agreed. It should have been two UCLA guys there, Bruin boy.
Well, it should have been. Not just,
no, I actually agree. I actually agree with you there. Like, I don't disagree.
Right. Bill Walton was incredible in college basketball.
Yes.
And he won all the time. The fact that those two didn't make it to anywhere even near the Elite Eight, insanity.
I'd love to open it up to the phones here real quick at 877-710-ESPN. I am curious as to what the theory is to why Kareem doesn't get the love he gets. Is it just time? Is it because he wasn't the most media-friendly guy? Like, what can you attribute this to? Because, you know, look, I get he played before Magic, but it wasn't, you know, that much earlier than Magic, right? Like, and we all love Magic, and we talk about Magic, and we put Magic in the top five or six greatest players of all time easily. And we always talk about him in the conversation for greatest Laker of all time. We've said it's him and Kobe, and we don't even include Kareem in that conversation a lot of these times. Like, it's just wild to me. So I want to open it up, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Plus, I do have a question about the Lakers, because Brian Windhorst, we did confirm it. There is a report about the Lakers moving forward with their roster. We'll tell you what that is. Stick around. 710 ESPN, back in 3 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. This segment brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. And if you missed any one of our interviews, including our friend Mina Kimes, who joined us earlier, go check out the entire interview on demand section of the Sedano Show podcast, whether it's on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, brought to you by Capital One Quicksilver Card, earning unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. What's in your wallet? By the way, Ariel Helwani will join us at 11:15. There's so many things going on in the UFC. They're still trying to get another fight. Like, they're going to have another fight on April 18th or whatever it is. Like, it just seems wild. Plus, the John Jones situation has hit another pitfall. Is probably the best way I would describe it. But we'll talk to Ariel about all those things in a second. But, yeah, the Kareem thing to me is just fascinating, how he just continually gets overlooked in a lot of these situations. But before I get to the calls, we thank you for hitting us up at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. By the way, we are still letting you shout out local businesses that are providing goods and services, restaurants or whatever. So if you got one, feel free to hit us up as well at 877-710-ESPN. We want to help the local businesses as best we can. We don't want to forget them. Just because it's been, you know, a couple of weeks. Like, we want to make sure we continue to do that. But real quick, there's some news that popped up on my Twitter feed. I saw Lonzo quote tweet this. It's a report from Bleacher Report that says LaMelo Ball, who could be the number one overall draft pick, and his manager. Actually, it's not from Bleacher Report. It's from Draft Express, which is our guy, Jonathan Givony, here at ESPN. LaMelo Ball and his manager have purchased the Illawarra Hawks, his Australian NBL team, per Draft Express. I guess that's different and smart. You know, look, I think right now, if you can, if you're those kids and you can find a way, considering the way everything went with Dad, who I like personally, but considering the way the business ventures went, if you can find ways to kind of help your business portfolio in a more meaningful way than maybe your family had done previously, I'm all for that. And the Australian Basketball League is a very strong league. It's one of the top four or five leagues in the world, and it is thriving for the most part. Obviously, nothing is thriving right now because we're in a pandemic, but when we're in normal times, it is a thriving league. So there you have it. But I think that's actually a smart move and interesting, to be honest with you. All right, so let's get to the phones. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Let me go to Wayne in L.A. Wayne, hope you're healthy, safe, and sound, buddy.
Yes, indeed. Good morning, and thank you for taking my call, and congratulations on your show. I really love it.
Well, thank you, sir.
Let me just say this. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, a.k.a. Luol Cinder, was probably the best college basketball player, period. You know, like you said, because nobody but nobody got the game changed because they were so dominant in just one shot, just a dunk shot. Now, David Skywalker Thompson couldn't stop Kareem. Bob McAdoo, who could sky, couldn't stop Kareem. Artis Gilmore, who was taller than Kareem, couldn't stop Kareem. Now, if the youngsters go back and look up some of these names and just Google some of the highlights, they're going to see some outstanding basketball players, Sedano. And the only thing I say is I don't knock these youngsters because they don't know, but I just want them to realize that LeBron wasn't the original best basketball player of all time, and he didn't even go to college. But I just want to say again, Kareem, hands down. Thank you for taking my call. You have a great show, and God bless you. All right.
Thank you, sir. You as well. You know, it's crazy is when they outlawed the dunk with Kareem. Like, think about that for a second. They outlawed the dunk, okay? You know what he invented after that? The skyhook, the most unstoppable shot of its era. The fact that he wasn't named the best college basketball player is crazy. And the fact that he's not even in the conversation for greatest of all time, period, is mind-boggling to me. Brian in Pasadena. Brian, hope you're safe and sound, buddy.
I'm doing good, George. Thank you for taking my call. I really want to say this, and I thought for years that Kareem gets underrated. I've been in L.A. my whole life, and I honestly think had he kept his name as Luol Cinder, he would get the credit he deserves. Now, I got a feeling people really have a problem with him changing his name because I noticed that the media loves to hype up Bill Russell, which all deserved. He deserves it. But because Kareem's name is Kareem and not Lou, I feel that that's the reason why he's gotten disrespected. It doesn't get the credit he deserves.
Now, I would say that, you know, Brian, and this is just me, you know, speculating. Like, I would say certainly back then it was a big deal. And much like Muhammad Ali, right, going from Cassius Clay was a big deal. But I think in today's society, I don't know if that plays as big a factor because it's certainly more normal and more recognized, right? Like people change their names for different beliefs and for different reasons all the time. And Muhammad Ali is still considered the greatest despite changing his name the way he did as well. So, I mean, I think that back then, yes, maybe you have a point. But thank you, Brian, for the call. I appreciate it. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Let's go to Steve in L.A. Steve, good morning. Hello, Steve.
Yes. George.
Yes, sir.
George. Yes. It was cable TV and satellite. We got a chance to see Jordan. We got a chance to see all these guys for the last 35 years. And the younger players, fans didn't get a chance to see the likes of Kareem or Walton when they were playing in college because they don't have the access. Even back then, the games here at UCLA, because I'm from LA, mm-hmm. The games here were on tape delay. They didn't come on until like 11:30 after the news. And Kareem was so outstanding, that team was so outstanding, that we used to stop parties to watch the TV.
Right.
You stop boogieing so you can watch him. he was a freshman. He beat the team, the varsity team, and everybody in the city stopped just to watch that game, the freshman. Nobody ever cared about freshmen anything. But when he was going to play, everything stopped. See, guys my age, I'm like 69 years old now. I was a teenager then.
Right.
So these are not the guys who are doing this voting, but we saw him.
Right. No, I agree. And I think that that has a different impact. And to your point, and thank you for the call, Steve. Stay safe. I'm on YouTube right now. And there are a ton of Kareem videos. And they're not grainy. They're actually, a good chunk of them have been restored, it looks like. And I think that it makes kids can look and find it if they want. Nowadays, because of technology, it just whatever. I maybe we need to do a better job of letting them know, like, not just kids. I sound so old saying that, but just younger people that didn't get a chance to watch him play. Like, I'm only 42, so my earliest memories of Kareem are old Kareem, now still winning championships in the mid 80s, but certainly not prime Kareem. But you know, I had ESPN Classic, right, that I could watch. I am a junkie when it comes to history in general. Like, I watch all sorts of historical stuff. I literally was on a rabbit hole of Hulu and Netflix the last couple of days watching, like, documentaries on old presidents. And I'm not talking about, like, Ronald Reagan and, like, Jimmy Carter. I'm talking about, like, Harry Truman. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going way back, you know? And, you know, Dwight Eisenhower and things of that nature. And even further back than that. Because I'm just a dork like that when it comes to history, but whether it's sports or the world, I like to do that stuff. But I think that YouTube allows us to do that now more than ever, and the internet in general. Mark is in Encino. Mark, hope you're safe and sound, buddy.
Doing great, George. I got to weigh in on the Kareem conversation, and I'm not a UCLA guy, but hands down, the two top college players were Kareem and Bill Walton. But let me give you an argument. I think we almost have, in the post-Jordan era, it's almost like before Christ, it's A.D., it's before Jordan, after Jordan.
Yeah.
Think of this. If Kareem, he played 4 years at UCLA. You put 4 young years, he's the all-time leading NBA scorer now.
Right.
All these guys who were close to him came right out of high school. Add 4 years of prime Kareem scoring, no one would touch him.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly, he's the best college player. Who were the two finalists, Jordan and Bird? Great NBA players. They were great college players, too, but not in the same universe as Kareem and Walton.
Right. Look, I mean, I agree with you. I you can make the case, and thank you for the call, Mark, and stay safe and healthy. You can make the case, and I did it earlier, that you know Jordan isn't even the undisputable North Carolina best player, or best college player, that is. I mean, Vince Carter's numbers were insane. Bob McAdoo's numbers were insane. James Worthy's numbers were insane at North Carolina. Let me go to Hall in Canoga Park. Hall.
Hey, how you doing? This is the second show I've heard this discussion today. And Kareem, I remember reading about him from Pop Power Memorial, and he was predicted to win 3 straight national championships, which he did. And I knew Coach Wooden personally, and he told me that Kareem was the greatest player he ever coached. But also, I'd like to know where Kristen Leitner and Pete Maravich and Oscar Robertson were on this list, because those guys should be way up there.
I'll have to double check, Hall, because I don't have the list right in front of me. And we'll take a quick break and we'll continue with your calls. We got a lot, full board, 877-710-ESPN. So hang out there. We'll get to you in a second. Ariel Helwani will join us at 11:15, and we'll get into the world of UFC and what the hell's going on there. There seems to be all sorts of insanity going on. So we'll talk to Ariel. We'll also talk to you guys on the phones here on this Kareem discussion. And I didn't get to the Lakers situation, the Brian Windhorst story about the Lakers roster and a potential decision. So we'll do that as well. I apologize for not getting to that. We're back in 3.5 minutes. Sedano, 710 ESPN.